The topic we've got this month, how do people find success and why do people fail?
Yeah, so just to sort of elaborate on that and also to kind of simplify a little bit, is we're answering probably the most important question any person can ask themselves. And it's a question that we ask ourselves probably every day, not directly, but more as a kind of nagging curiosity in the back of our minds all the time. And that question is, who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose? You'll notice we're beyond success here. We're talking about success, and that's another thing we can talk about, perhaps, is, you know, how do we define success? Is that, you know, really people who are happy with their lives, who can honestly say they just jump out of bed every morning because they love what they do, you know, that's success, that's happiness. And the two are very much interconnected, I think. In this country today, there's a tendency still for us to measure success in square footage. By that I mean how big the houses you have, which in fact a lot of the time results in misery because there's actually a lot of debt behind it. Right. But in another way of saying that, you know, success traditionally is measured by in dollars rather than, you know, personal happiness. Because, you know, let's just imagine right now I gave you, let's say, $100 million, right? I mean, needless to say, you never need to work again.
Right.
You can buy all the toys you want. Much like today's A-list movie actors, they pretty much have it all on a plate. And yet so many of them are in rehab and getting divorced and on drugs and alcohol and all kinds of things. So surely then, you know, having $100 million, let's say, how is that successful? Yes, you have been successful financially, but how can you just translate that success in it, other than a very superficial sense?
Right.
So the question is then, well, what is it then? What is, and I think an important element to understand here is that we're not going to just do nothing every day. You know, to say, okay, you've got $100 million, great. You never need to work. You don't need to do anything any day. You can wake up and you can do whatever you want and get up when you want. You could just sit in bed all day and watch movies. You could just hang out. You could just pretty much have every day would be the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, because I've been there and done it myself, you have all the toys in the playground to play with. You have every day to do as you please. But you would soon find this emptiness and hollow feeling about it all. How is that success? And then quite often the devil finds work for idle hands, and that's when, you know, people end up in rehab or, you know, going down a dark path. So there must be more to it than that. I think it's that, going back to what I just touched on, is what am I going to do when I get up? Yes, sure, it's nice to have the freedom to buy what I want, do what I want, get up when I want, live where I want, you name it. But there's going to be something more, and I think that something more is having purpose and meaning, having meaningful work. Yeah, work not in a you know, slavery kind of sense, but meaningful work, some kind of purpose. What am I doing? And that is when we get that feeling. That is when we get that feeling of leaping out of bed. We all feel energized. We feel focused, and having that feeling of, you know, I'm fulfilling my purpose. I'm fulfilling my destiny. That is what is going to get you excited. And that's where most people fail. They'll read a self-help book. They'll go to a motivational seminar. They'll watch a DVD on something like, you know, how to make money on this, that, and the other. And that's great, of course. We all have to have a base level of wealth and health. You know, we can't starve, or who cares about, you know, happiness, success, and all the rest of it. Those are the basic needs. But these days, most of us are healthy. We have food in our belly. We have a place to sleep. So there's something else nagging at us because we're in that luxurious position now. And that's really the key question we're touching on here today.
Right, and it's sort of funny because currency, money, all that stuff, it's, you know, it's man-made. It's something we came up with, obviously as a currency so we could buy things with, but ultimately, looking at it, you want to fulfill yourself on the inside, you know? I think that's really where, sort of what you touched on too, Jim, like, you know, money is just a reward for doing something, right? As you get paid for doing this job, but it doesn't mean anything once you get there, once you get paid, whether you're getting paid $8 an hour or, you know, a couple hundred grand a year. Is what you are doing fulfilling your dreams, fulfilling your goals? Right. Is it meaningful? And I think, you know, you mentioned on health, wealth, and happiness. And I think a lot of the times people get that in the wrong order. I mean, we were talking earlier, you know, people, you know, they want wealth most of all. Health will probably, I mean, it doesn't always come with wealth, but, you know, you can pay for certain surgeries and stuff like that. But ultimately, if you find your own happiness, those two things should surely come along afterwards.
Yeah, right? They can certainly feed off of each other when I'm feeling in a healthy place. Well, let's look at it from a basic point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham Maslow was one of the godfathers of modern psychology. And he came up with something called the hierarchy of needs. And it's really just a triangle. His theory was, and it is correct, and it's common sense actually, is that the bottom level of this pyramid is our health. You know, survival. You know, without, you know, if we have something like toothache from something as simple as literally fighting for our life, mm-hmm. whether it be in a dangerous encounter, or a disease, a life-threatening disease. We don't even care about money unless it's to do with paying for our health. You know, we won't even get that far up the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
So until that basic need of health at the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy is fulfilled, we can't even think any further. And that's what I mean about that. You have to have a base level of health. You're not even going to think about anything else. You know, and like I say, you know, if you have toothache on any given day, can you really focus on making money or the meaning of, you know, your personal destiny? No, of course not. So that's the basic level, is health. And it is the most important. But to go back to what you're saying before I carry on, is that, yes, of course, your happiness, once you have, let's see, mean you are healthy, maintaining health is a large function of personal happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Stress is one of the worst things your immune system can have to suffer. So yes, it is very important to, assuming we have a base level of health and wealth, to do this from the top down and think of happiness, personal fulfillment first, and then wealth will follow, health will follow. But let's just carry on with this pyramid. And then so above that, once you, okay, I'm healthy, I'm not fighting for my life, above that, next thing we have there is the, you know, okay, but now I need food and shelter. Got to be able to sleep somewhere tonight, got to have food in my belly, and so on. And then above that, we have personal relationships, love, intimate relationships, things like that. Because let's face it, without a place to sleep, without food in my belly, without my health, do I care about having a partner in life? You know, not really. But that comes quickly close second, third, because man, we are, whether we like it or not, however much we resist this or not, you know, we are not, we are sociable creatures. And it's pretty hard to get away from the fact that, you know, we need interaction, a significant other, some friends, that type of thing. And then once we fulfill that level, which is where most people are, you know, today with a base level, I'm healthy, right? Relatively speaking, I've got, you know, I've got enough money coming in to survive, you know, mm-hmm. pay my rent, I've got food in my belly, got shelter, and okay, I've got some friends and or a significant other. And that's the place most people are at today, but they sense yet there is something more, something else that they need to fulfill. And that is the pinnacle of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which is what he refers to as self-actualization, which I believe is just really a fancy way of saying the thing we're talking about today is your destiny, your purpose, meaningful work, what is really the meaning of life to me, myself. I think that question, what is the meaning of life? That's a personal question.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is an excellent depiction that Maslow put forward there of there is a hierarchy to things. But that's where he ended. And really, my interest more and more these days is that pinnacle there, the self-actualization. Okay, we do talk a lot about health and wealth. We must have a base level of these things. But then there's that ball, okay, but what now? Who am I? What is my purpose? And then like I said, health and wealth can be a function of that and follow on.
Right, absolutely. And you said earlier about, you know, what drives people to get up out of bed in the morning. Jim, what is it right now that's driving you? This is obviously a fluid thing, but if you could capture it all, what do you get most excited about when you wake up in the morning?
I think, and this taps into, this is personal for everyone, and it's not going to be the same for everyone listening. Right. And that's an important point I'll make from the onset. One man's meat truly is another man's poison. Me personally, I'm a very creative type, and if I feel engaged in a project that I can really get my teeth into that is creative, I think, you know, you talk about my purpose, my destiny in life, it seems to be that I you know, taking the complex and breaking it into the simple and being able to teach. I say I enjoy teaching. People say I'm a good teacher. So I think that is certainly what, and that to be creative in that way, an interface between what is perhaps the higher intellectual stuff, deeper stuff, and be able to relay that to everyday people in a way that they can use and understand. And so that on any given day, I've learned more and more is the thing I should focus on, because that's who I am and that's my purpose in life. Whenever I try to get into something that kind of fights that or contradicts that, unhappiness usually ensues. Just, and I'm doing something purely because I'm thinking, well, I've got to do something else, got to do something different, instead of, you know, swimming downstream. And that's really, you know, everyone needs to have that, understand without any apology at all who they are and what their purpose is. You know, I see life as a corridor. We're walking down this corridor of life, and for some reason at any given point as we walk along this corridor, we always seem to have this binary choice of taking left turn or right turn, and there always seems to be a trade-off. You know, it's always this dilemma. It's very interesting. It's very rare that we have important life decisions to make that are, you know, 3, 4, 5 different choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretty much when you break it down, it's always, you know, what's behind door number A and what's behind door number B. And there's never an obvious answer. There right. always seems to be this trade-off where if I go there, I lose that. And if I go this way, I lose that one.
Mm-hmm.
And this leads to what is a very debilitating condition, which is just standing in the corridor.
Right.
And that's the worst thing we can do. And that's what happens so much, is this indecision, this procrastination. And this, quite frankly, really leads to insanity. You have to make these choices, however difficult they are. The worst thing you can do is you know, in this instance, psychologically speaking, is nothing. You will have these crossroads to face. And you have to choose door A, or you have to choose door B. And once you're through that door, you need to board up that door and not look back, even if you made the wrong choice. You'll always be presented with another binary choice, door A and door B, and you'll know next time. But here's where it gets interesting regarding what we're speaking about today. Because if you know who you are and what your purpose is in life, those choices that are put in front of you suddenly become obvious. And the weight will come off of your shoulders. And not only will you be able to step out of the corridor, you'll be able to make the right choice, that door A or door B. And the answer always comes in being true to your particular type, who you are, and the answer lays itself bare.
Right, and we'll obviously dig into that in a couple minutes, Jim, but I just wanted to point out here too, so you get to the end of that corridor and there are only two doors to go through. So,
but when you get to the end of the corridor, you're dead.
Yeah.
So this corridor never ends. It's just door A, door B.
So there's always door A, door B. Right. But I do think, you know, there's this, there's these decisions being made along the way that brushes out doors C, D, E, F, and G that I think, you know, basic human intellect would push those decisions out. It's like, you know, you need lunch. You know, you need food, right? But you're pushing out all these other decisions that might be popping up, like I need to go get gas, I need to do this. That's obviously on its simplest form. But I think there's a process that we go through subconsciously that narrows down those two doors. So what you're saying is we're there between those two doors now. We've already kicked out all the other unnecessary stuff. Now we're tackling the big two.
Yeah, we're talking about the major life-changing issues. Should I marry this girl or not?
Right.
You know, should I get divorced or not? No, there's major crossroad events. Yeah, there's always going to be this crap that's, you know, should I get lunch now? Should I get gas later? You know, that that is always there. I'm talking about those major life decisions that really are turning points, that when you look back on your life, right, you know, you went this way or that way, and that really changed the course of events. But in an interesting point you raise, because you see, we can create doors that aren't really there or aren't really important.
Right.
There's really only ever in major turning points in your life, door A or door B. Mm-hmm. When we start creating door C, D, E, F, G, when we boil it down, that's just you going into probably worry mode.
Right, you're not even standing up anymore.
These doors aren't really there. You're just making life more complicated.
Right.
Then it really, what if that, and what if this, and what if this? When you boil it down,
yeah,
the really major points, as I could say, is binary.
Right. So what exactly is it that makes it easy to choose door B? What does it make, you know, how do you know door B is
that,
the door?
That is really, I think, this is the key question. And it comes down to refer to, we talked about Abraham Maslow, one of the godfathers of modern psychology. And let's pick up now with where Maslow left off with Carl Jung. And Carl Jung was now talking more about personality types. And he recognized that there were, we have a lot more in common with each other than uncommon. And we just don't realize that because the ego has a tendency to try and alienate us from other people. But he identified that there are basically only real 7 personality blueprints for men and 7 personality blueprints for women. And interesting enough, he based these on Greek gods, which isn't as random as you may think, because in ancient Greece, they were obviously a very advanced civilization, and the Greek philosophers that we still quote to this day realized something. No, of course, we don't know how the Greek gods came about, but, you know, I think it's fair to say they were a creation of human imagination. And in that subconsciously, perhaps the ancient Greeks identified that there are these 7 types of men and 7 types of women, and that's really all there is. And lo and behold, their gods were created, were personified by this observation of human nature. And that really, we really only come down to 7 types, 7 gods and 7 goddesses. And the more I've studied this and applied it to real life, the more true I realize it is. Understanding which god or goddess you are is the meaning of life for you personally. And once you have that, you've literally cracked the code of you. Remembering that, and it's another important point, is that it makes you understand that we're all different. We all have different, and a lot of the time, let's take a very simple application. On any given day, we get irritated by other people, and this affects our happiness. But when you break it down, a lot of the time, I mean, there's obviously basic things like stupidity and bad driving that, you know, we're not talking about that. That is going to be annoying and always will, and that's a different discussion. You know, you can't fix stupid, you know. But there's a lot of the time when someone's not getting on your nerves, you know them, it's, well, they're that type, and they're just not like you. And it's a fruitless and frustrating quest that leads to unhappiness when you're fighting the reality that, well, that's important to you because you are this god, but not that person because they're that god. We each have, this is really into the crux of it now, because we each have, and this is why this one-size-fits-all cookie-cutter approach to self-help can only have limited application, because, you know, motivational seminar says, yeah, believe in yourself and do this and do that other, but to that type it may mean nothing, and to that type it means everything.
Right.
So, and this is why we need a much more customized approach to self-help. And I think the start of it all is knowing which god or goddesses you are, which at the last annual Wealth Summit, let people take the test of who they are, and it was, the results were incredible. We were seeing epiphanies, right, you know, for the rest of the day and in the evening, where this light, I could literally see after lunch when they're taking that test, I could see a different audience, like, yeah, these lights had come on,
right.
And it was truly, I mean, not just in a cliche way, like life changing. And then that's why this year in the annual Wealth Summit in Las Vegas, which we're very excited about, in the first week in December, I'm going to go over that again in even more detail.
Right. I mean, the response we got from that was amazing. And just, I mean, it must have been fulfilling for you, Jim, to, you know, that was the first time you've taught anything about the archetypes. And you got this response from people. And it really, it's almost like the first thing we should do at the next one to get people prepared for what we're going to teach them. There was that good of a response, obviously. But like Jim said, we're going to be covering that in detail at the Las Vegas AWS in the first weekend of December. So let's stray a little bit here from success, because that's how we sort of started off. You edged into it a little bit about how you meet other people and maybe you don't get along with them, and how it's important to know that it's not really your fault, it's not their fault, it's just you're two different people. How does that work into relationships, whether it's a significant other or family? How does that play into all that?
Yeah, so there are several applications of knowing these different types. It's not just knowing who you are, so you can make the right choices. That's obviously the most important thing. But then we have these interrelationships with other people as we walk through life. And it's not just knowing that you are this type, but it's also learning about what other types are and how that makes them tick. That's, as you say, the very first example is, you know, choosing a romantic partner. You know, you can bang your head against a brick wall in relationships for years that won't go anywhere, because you're just not, that goddess is not matched for this god. Mm-hmm. And there's no amount of counseling or anything that's going to do anything about it.
Yeah.
If you are already in that relationship, it will help you understand the other more, at least. And they're just being that way because they're that.
Right.
And then it's up to you to figure that out and educate them on how you are, you know. But if you haven't chosen that partner yet, this is powerful, hugely powerful, because you know not to go down that path with that one if they're that type, you know.
Yeah.
In terms of, let's say you're in a sales position, front line sales position, this is a massive gift, because you can now tailor your presentation. Instead of giving this cassette tape in the back of the head presentation that so many people these days seem to get, that salesmanship is a lost art.
Right.
You should be tailoring it to that individual, what's important to them, what's their hot buttons. You can, once you get good at this, you can find out their archetype within a few questions, and then you're just gonna nail it every time. In business, you know, you're trying to put a deal together, negotiations. This can help all levels of life that are going to lead to success, happiness, all of that good stuff. It's immensely powerful. It truly is a stepping stone to omnipotence.
Right, and it all is about looking inward first, looking at yourself and genuinely questioning yourself, who am I, what archetype am I, and then
And not fighting, this is who I am and I don't want to be that.
Right.
I want to be this.
Yeah.
That's an uphill struggle. Absolutely. It's not just about playing to your strengths, it's about just being who you are without apology and going down the path that is, to be honest, been pretty much selected for you at birth.
Right, yeah. And this is, I just want to make it clear, this isn't anything like horoscope, like hollow horoscope.
Right, horoscopes, I don't want to start a whole argument about that, but there's no real science behind that. I'm talking about accepted modern psychology, not my own, by the great Carl Jung. And it just so happens that this truly works in real life. You know, a lot of horoscopes, it's just very, very general that anyone could take something from and think, oh, well, that worked for me. That's true. That's cause and causality. Different thing altogether. We're not talking about the gravitational alignment of planets when you were born, planets of which are so far away, like to the point where you can't believe how far away they are, that they're going to affect somehow your brain makeup. I think there's actually, in all the DNA overlays, there's really only 14 different outcomes from when a human egg is seeded. And Carl Jung was absolutely right. And this really is the key to it all. So to finish off where you started, what is success? Give a person $100 million, are they successful? Financially, yes. But when you're being true to your archetype and you're living every day on your terms without apology, always able to make the right choice for you, are you able to understand others aren't like you and that they are that way, acceptance and a healthy interaction with them because of that, fulfilling relationships, being able to see the world as it is instead of not how you or others want it to be, to my mind, that is success. We have a base level of health, we have a base level of wealth, which, by the way, will feed off of your happiness, because you now are able to know which business to be in, which know which aspect of business to be specializing in. My lack of stress will now lead to good health, and so on the cycle goes. But you don't need to be saving up forever to be successful. You just need to know who you are and what your destiny is.